Welcome to another Domestic Preparedness Podcast interview. Since 1998, DomesticPreparedness.com has provided critical solutions for the professional preparedness community. Your host today is the managing editor, John Morton.
Domestic Preparedness is with Robert Chen, the co-founder of Ray Systems, which he founded in 1991. With all the emphasis these days on detection and homeland security, we felt that it was important to sit down and talk with one of the leaders and innovators in sensor technology for homeland security. Mr. Chen has served as the president and CEO and as a member of the board of directors since Ray's inception. From 1981 to 1990, he served as the president and chief executive officer of Applied Optoelectronic Technology Corporation, a manufacturer of computer-aided test systems, and that's a company that he founded and subsequently sold to Hewlett-Packard. He currently serves on the board of directors for Shanghai Ericsson Simtech Electronics Company Limited, a telecommunications and electronics company. He received a BSEE from Taiwan National Cheng Kung University and an MSEE from South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, as well as an advanced engineering degree from Syracuse University. And he also graduated from the Harvard Owner President's Program. Ray Systems is a global developer and manufacturer of rapidly deployable multi-sensor chemical detection monitors and networks for homeland security and industrial applications. And in addition, Ray Systems offers a full line of portable single-sensor chemical and radiation detector products. And a lot of that we're going to talk about right now with Mr. Chen. Bob, thanks very much for being with us with Domestic Preparedness.
John, thank you for the kind introduction. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Let's go back to the very beginning. What was it that inspired you to found Ray Systems back in 1991?
I always been in the technology business when I sold the business to Hewlett-Packard, and I was thinking about in my future career, and I would like to create some new business. And I was finishing up my last year at the Harvard Business School, the Owner President's Program, and I started to write a business plan at the Baker Library. And I thought I have several objectives I'd like to accomplish in my lifetime. First thing, I think my training is in the technology area. I want to use technology. That's something I can do. And I want to, using my technology background, to do a business that's do something really good to society, something good to the mankind. Mm. Okay. Another thing is I want to find a business that has a lot of good upside potential. It's not cyclical like we had it before in the semiconductor industry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then I look around, find the technology, and that's how I wrote the business plan, found the Ray system, initially using our technology to advance technology to make a safer environment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you migrated into Homeland Security. How did you do that? And tell us a little bit about your role there.
So during the time, the early 90s, you know, after the Cold Wars, and the world have a lot of problem on the environmental issues, mm-hmm. and there would be a lot of emphasis on the quality and the health of lives. So the Ray system was founded with the technology to do the environmental during the time with the Superfund, mm-hmm. and the cleanup of our polluted environment. And we developed a technology called photoionization, or PID, using this technology to detect the volatile organic compounds like solvents and fuels, mm-hmm. and toxins, you know, in the Superfund site. Mm-hmm. So this is the area we are having this great technology being accepted by EPA as one of the methods for detection, for mm-hmm. remediation. And one of the application for our PID technology being evaluated by the U.S. Navy is using this technology to monitor the jet fuel, mm-hmm. on the aircraft carrier after 3 years validating, testing, and we have been selected and being used by the U.S. Navy as one of the very useful tool mm-hmm. to monitor the jet fuel on the U.S. aircraft carrier for the land and the sea-based the aircraft carrier. Then 9/11, if we look at it, is basically it's a civilian airplane. The jet airplane and burned down the building with mm-hmm. the jet fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, our product being used by the Navy to monitor the jet fuel very effectively, and it becoming a natural selection by the government as one of the very useful tool in mm-hmm. in the ground zero to monitor the jet fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, we find out our PID core technology, and together with other sensing capability we have at that time, mostly for the chemicals, are very, very useful tool for the homeland security mm-hmm. application.
Well, that sort of leads you also into systems that are used and useful for public venue protection, special events and whatnot. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, earlier you also recognize I'm sitting on the board of Shanghai Simtech mm-hmm. Ericsson Corporation. I've been exposed to wireless technology at the early days. In the early 90s, I went to visit Ericsson in Sweden, in Stockholm, attending some of the key board meetings. So I've been exposed to digital wireless capabilities, and I find out the wireless, digital wireless, data wireless transmission is very, very important mm-hmm. in the network. And our sensor data sometimes mm-hmm. provide very critical information mm-hmm. for decisions. And the wireless network is a natural fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I push in our company to migrate into the area to have the wireless sensor network.
Mm-hmm.
And the wireless sensor network really have a great application for the venue protection. Put a sensor at a different locations at the stadium or the public venues
mm-hmm.
and transmit the data to the command and control center.
Mm-hmm.
Provide a very, very critical and time-critical information
mm-hmm.
for the
mm-hmm.
decision support.
Well, now you mentioning wireless, it calls to mind your wireless gas detection system among some of the technologies that are out there now that you're developing and have underway. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Wireless gas detection, we basically using our PID technology mm-hmm. together with any other sensors, electrochemical sensor and the LEL sensor for explosivity and toxic
mm-hmm.
sensor, together with the wireless network capability. So we provide the instant or the trendy information for the command and control
mm-hmm.
to understand what kind of degree of contamination or danger we may face.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of interest, how many wireless networks have you got deployed?
I think our area array wireless called Rapid Deployment Kit has been deployed in the United States. More than 600 networks
mm-hmm.
has been deployed in use. So this is a very large number of installed base.
Mm-hmm.
So it being widely accepted, we feel it's pretty much as a de facto standard for this mm-hmm. kind of application.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm led actually to a couple of other thoughts. Where exactly are some of those deployments, some of the examples?
The public venue involving a lot of places, like Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
They are mm-hmm. also inaugural, and also the World Series, Super Bowl, and World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So these public venues, they deploy our equipment.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of interoperability in the network, voice is almost understood, but tell us a little bit about the importance and the data interoperability that's part of that.
Yeah, so we need to deploy a lot of these sensor pods, sensor nodes in the different locations of the stadium or mm-hmm. the public venues. Depends on the size and the location. Sometimes They need to pull in different kind of equipment owned by different entities, mm-hmm. you know, like law enforcement, fire department, or different counties. They need to bring their equipment to pull in the equipment to form a larger network to protect mm-hmm. a larger area. So it's very important for all these equipment to talk to each other and talk to the command center. So the interoperability it become a must or the necessity.
Mm-hmm. And voice and data, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Another thought that I have on your gas detection systems, in particular the handheld, tell us a little bit about that technology that you got underway.
Yeah, I think our PID was our initial attempt to make a very advanced, very complicated laboratory PID, photo ionization detection technology. We miniaturize like a cigarette pack. Mm-hmm. You know, we can put into the personal pocket or belt to mm-hmm. protect the individual. So miniaturization is always we are driving mm-hmm. to have a you know, the rugged portable product. And also we see down the road, and we are putting wireless link together mm-hmm. to add on to our wireless network. So in the future there will be some GPS mm-hmm. location mm-hmm. and all these wireless capability, wow. you know, even portable one, we will have this kind of capability.
Yeah, indeed. Now, let's talk a little bit about radiation detection. I know that you all are very active in that respect. What drove you into looking at the radiation detection business?
Right after 9/11, I read an article on New York Times, and in that article talking about the threat of chemicals, all these horrible thing happened to the World Trade Center. But the other potential big danger is so-called the radiological dispersive device mm-hmm. or the so-called dirty bomb. Mm-hmm. And I, with my training in the technical background, I understand that's probably a big threat. Mm-hmm. And I did not know how real this threat will be. So I start to go to Europe, attending conferences in Austria and mm-hmm. visit to Russia, find out some of the being contaminated area. And also for many, many years I visit Japan. I never have a chance to visit Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. And I visit there, went to the ground zero, talked to the people and visit the museum. And I find out this horrible effect of the radiological contamination. Mm-hmm. So I think also realize there are many innocent sources available and we do not have a good control program. And the former Soviet Union disintegrated and some of the nuclear devices may fall into the wrong hands. Mm-hmm. So we really have a threat. That's what I want to get our company expanding our detection from the chemical to cover the radiological and the nuclear mm-hmm. detection.
Sure. Yeah. Now, many in our audience, the domestic preparedness members, are in the first responder community, and I think the certification of your products is important for them. Can you tell us a little bit about what certifications you have, and for those that might not appreciate, why that's important for a first responder?
Yes, for the first responder, when they respond to a danger, to a contamination, to a disaster, they walk in into the area, sometimes can be what we call it's a hazardous location. That can be explosive or mm-hmm. can be contaminated. The person can be getting in danger. Worse than that, some of the environment can be explosive. Okay, so this equipment we bring into those hazardous location has to be certified by the regulatory agency. In the U.S., it's UL. In Europe, it's mm-hmm. ATACS. You know, in China and Canada, mm-hmm. they all have their certification. Then this equipment has to be certified, called intrinsically safe. Mm-hmm. They cannot be a source of ignition, can mm-hmm. not be a source of contamination.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you know, we've been talking in the past to Vail Oxford at the Homeland Security Domestic Nuclear Detection Office, and we know that DHS has identified the CBRNE threat as something that we really need to look closely at. Tell us a little bit more about how those initiatives, efforts, and organizations have really located an increasing interest on your part in radiation detection and how that figures into what you're doing in technology development.
Yeah, for our product line, the portable and the wireless systems, I think sensor is one of the key technology mm-hmm. and key value we propose to this offering.
Mm-hmm.
So besides a chemical sensor, we mm-hmm. are developing from the electrochemical, optical, solid polymer, and radiation, or various of these kind of sensors. We continue to treat that as our mm-hmm. core competence. We'll continue not only to own the technology, but also to have the capability to produce them. So then the CBRN, you know, for the Homeland Security, a chemical is by far the largest portion of it. You know, mm-hmm. we continue to broaden our offering and to get a more sensitive. So these are the chemical sensor we are doing. And the radiological, you know, mm-hmm. we are producing our sensor on the scintillation crystals and mm-hmm. also the portals, and so the radiological thing we continue to have for the radiological and nuclear, and for the biological sensor we're constantly looking for partners because mm-hmm. we do not have the core competence and mm-hmm. it's pretty difficult. We have a technical advisory board, have mm-hmm. experts constantly advise us how to select, how to partner, how to find the best biological sensors. We're working with our national laboratory, and if there's any biological sensor available, we can put onto our wireless network. On the explosive side, the conventional explosive or these fuels, we have a detection, mm-hmm. but for these more difficult military grade plastic explosives mm-hmm. like a C4, they have very little vapors and is relatively difficult, and we are working with the more advanced detection technology, find a good partner to work with us and have this explosive detection can add on to our wireless network to offer a more thorough and complete solution. So our wireless sensor platform is kind of a open platform, so anybody has a good sensor can be easily go through our Raylink to mm-hmm. be add on to our network, and the value will be add on to the protection.
Well, in sensing, the pervasive sensing that you offer is in beta. Tell us a little bit about that technology.
We have a vision when we started is protect the individual, offer them a personal monitor, clipped to their belt, mm-hmm. you know, on their helmet to protect the individual, give them warning, give them reading. And we expanded that into a what we call area of monitoring, you know, a stadium or large area, by putting the sensor pods, you know, connected together to mm-hmm. the command and control center, so protect the larger area.
Mm-hmm.
Our vision is ultimately will migrate into the area what we call pervasive sensing. So every sensor will have a radio, a wireless transmitter. Okay, they will be linked together and will be forming a large area of network. This network will be using a technology called mesh radio.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be self-forming, self-healing. So this is very robust and very effective wireless network. And this network can also complemented with the longer range radio technology we have ad hoc and linked to internet. So we ultimately think the value is on the information, on the sensor information, the life critical, the time critical information can be rapidly disseminated through the wireless network, through the internet, go to the decision support.
Mm-hmm. You know, with your concept of pervasive sensing, it jogs in my mind a notion that there is a convergence going on in the safety and the security fields, particularly in the area of video surveillance. Are you guys working in the area where you're thinking of linking sensors with video systems to provide that kind of pervasive sensing that would be helpful in the public venues?
Absolutely. This is the vision, and this is the trend, and our company are recognized and are working to realize the convergence of safety and security. Mm-hmm. As you know, if there's accidents, it's a safety issue, it's an unintentionally accident, have a safety issue, they were causing damages, explosion, or casualties.
Mm-hmm.
But the security today is a person willfully to create an accident, but the consequence to create the damage and the fear mm-hmm. is the same. Okay, so our sensor, starting from the safety to prevent the oil refineries or the chemical plant to have accidents, that's a safety sensor. But mm-hmm. if you have a person break the security coming willfully to create a damage, that consequence is the mm-hmm. same thing. So all these sensor has to link together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we see our wireless linked pervasive sensing has a very important function, is to be what we call is a sensor activated video mm-hmm. recording
mm-hmm.
and also
mm-hmm.
with a wireless link
mm-hmm.
and together with this, our vision further want to expand this into some security issue like the RFID and access control and also all these command and control platform integrated mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. So you see the physical security, the IT security, and the pervasive sensing, we do see they coming together, mm-hmm. and, you know, converges together with the solution. I think pervasive sensing will be one of the important, most important building block.
Mm-hmm.
In the early part of this year, we start working on some project, collaborate, working together with a high-tech company in Silicon Valley called Edgison Technology. Mm-hmm. They have a very good mobile DVR technology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in July, we entered an agreement to acquire this company. And they have a very good digital DVR program. They install a lot of these systems in more than 20 law enforcement organizations, and they install in the amusement park like Universal Studio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think this is a great synergy for our two companies to add race systems, pervasive sensing capability, and Edgison's DVR capability. We have realized the sensor-activated DVR capability, and we're continuing to adding other value into mm-hmm. the system to provide a solution for a ultimate safety and security problem.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Well, that's a very visionary solution to a real tricky problem of protection across the board for public venues and force protection, what have you. Someone like yourself, I know that you look to the future, and you've said that consistently through the interview. I know that you were at Steve Forbes's global CEO conference recently, and you've been to some of his others. I'm sure there's some takeaways. Would you share those a little bit with us? And also, what came out of the conference in regards to the perceived threat future?
I really enjoy the Steve Forbes Global CEO Conference. I attended several sessions. This year they conducted in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
There's world leaders in business gathered together. They have very good speaker, and the Mr. Forbes himself also gave a very insightful comment. And one of the speaker was a former prime minister from Australia, was given to guide a session about what is the risk for international business,
mm-hmm.
okay, as we see the future is bright. What is the potential risk facing international business? And he pointed out two major ones. A lot of people seems to agree, and Mr. Forbes also agree, that these two major threats facing the two can be a big risk for our international business. The first one is called nuclear terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
I think increasingly we see what's happening in North Korea, what's happening in Iran, and what as a result of the disintegration of the former Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
This threat is pretty real. The second threat is what he called is a pandemic flu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are two areas I believe race system is position and prepare ourselves to offer some solution, offer some possible monitoring and for the either for the nuclear terrorism mm-hmm. and also pandemic flu. So we think pervasive sensing definitely is position ourselves to offer mm-hmm. a good solution for it.
Well, that's wonderful. Bob, thanks very much for your time with us today and your most helpful insights. And we wish you well, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, John, for this great opportunity to be in this program.